Welcome to Season 3 of Swiss Impact with Banerjees. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben.
The topic of Season 3 is Impact Investing, the New Normal. Do you also want to do something meaningful for our planet and people, or invest with impact?
Then our amazing and powerful guests who are business owners, heads of financial institutions, thought leaders, political leaders, policymakers, investors, and experts.
Greetings, my name is Ash Bachauri, and I'm the senior mentor of the POP, or Protect Our Planet movement, and also a member of the board and secretary treasurer of the World Sustainable Development Forum. Our primary goal is to mobilize the 1.8 billion youth of the world to urgently address the issue of climate change and take action to protect our planet.
This will inspire you to get engaged.
And in this season, we will challenge them even more to take actions towards sustainable development goals, to enable paradigm shift in the financial sector and way of doing business.
Watch and learn how can we, as humans, transform into eco-financial system which would serve all people and the environment.
We aim for impact investment to become available to anyone, become truly mainstream.
See you every Friday at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Act for your future.
Good morning, afternoon, and evening to everyone, and to our viewers from Far East. Good night.
Welcome back to the special New Year's show, which we initiated when we heard of this amazing project, which we are going to show you today on the very last day of the year 2021. And it has been a tremendous year with so many inspiring guests just look in our background. So we want to thank all who supported the TV shows with Impact with Banerjees. And thank you, because without you, we couldn't multiply positive impact on our planet.
So that's all we have for impact investors and normal people who can make a difference. But before we start, just a short example or explanation of why impact investment is important for our planet and for people living in it.
Do you want to explain it this time, or should
I? No, you do.
Keep the tradition.
It's your tradition.
Okay, so impact investment, if you never heard about that, it's investment into projects and businesses which create positive impact on our planet, social and environmental impact, which can be measured. And of course, with impact investments, we are trying to shift capital towards positive change so we can achieve sustainable development goals.
Thank you. And although we are aware that people all over the world are watching us, and every day it's a surprise, even today I was speaking with Finland, some friends of mine from Lapland, even they are watching us. And especially for this program of today, I think they will be the most interested. So a quick reminder to you, if you want to know more about the course, about the show, and you want to be followed up with it, please subscribe on our YouTube channel, that is Swiss Impact, youtube.com/Swiss Impact.
But before we invite our guest, Ben, if we are keeping traditions, would you please share a story? And hopefully it will be a positive one, because it is the last day of the year.
Okay, no. Today I'll talk a little bit about transformation. It has been mentioned repeatedly in many books, events, and speeches that humanity today needs a transformation if it needs to exist tomorrow and in the future, together with a healthy planet and environment of which we as humans are indistinct part of. So I have two positive news about that on this stuff.
Yes, right.
Firstly, the research of Harvard Kennedy School shows that nonviolent protests or demonstrations are twice as likely to succeed as armed conflicts. I couldn't believe it myself when I read this, but...
Really? Well, I mean, we are peaceful warriors here, right?
Exactly. So you know, coming from India, we are a living proof that nonviolent protests led by Gandhi achieved more than many could have imagined in those times. And I'm talking about the 1940s. And I myself was a witness of such a revolution in Yerevan, in Armenia, in the weekend of 21st to 24th. 22nd, 23rd April in 2018. It was amazing to see how dancing, singing, celebrating people on the street with car honking and everything jammed, everybody laughing. It was like a big party. They brought down the government. Second point of the positive point of the two points is that the same study shows that you need a threshold of 3.5%.
Only 3.5%.
Yes. Wow. So if 3.5% of the population gets engaged, they have historically never failed to bring about a social change. So our goal is to reach and activate these 3.5% population of the world. And then guess what? Our environment and our future for the children is secured.
That makes me feel happy and gives hope. Thank you for sharing this positive news today. And I like your look. Yeah. Maybe we should do it every day. No,
exactly.
Every show we are like, it's a new year, new chance.
And especially if it is a project like the project of today, then it's always a party.
So today we actually travel again to one of the far places on our planet, which has been very much in the news the last decades. It is Brazil, where the Amazon forest is facing the greatest threat from mankind. And this is not just happening far away, but it's going to affect us all. And with this, I would like to welcome our guest of today, Mr. and Dr. Stefano Merlin. Please join us.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon.
Welcome. Welcome.
Hello, Svetlana and Ben. Thank you very much for inviting me to this presentation. And it's the last day of the year.
Good, you had time, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It was not easy, but the project is so amazing. So
I'd like to introduce you to our audience before we dive deeper into the project. So Stefano is not only a PhD in ecology of climate change, but also you have more than 20 years of experience in Brazil in developing policies, implementing emissions reductions, different programs, and managing multidisciplinary teams to support the delivery of sustainability projects, innovation startups, and carbon market solutions for the industrial, commercial, governmental, and non-governmental sectors. You also have third sector leadership roles dealing with states, federal government departments, governmental agency, I don't know how you do that, in Brazil, and with international agencies and organizations. You also have been participant to several climate change networks. Wow, that's amazing. And today you are going to talk about your newest project called BFA.
It's in Brazil, in the Amazon forest. So everything we talk about and do, he is absolutely working with it, which is amazing.
Yes.
So, Stefano, can you please introduce yourself shortly to our audience?
What I didn't say, yes, of course.
Yes, you told a lot. Thank you very much, Svetlana and Ben. So I'm actually a CEO of Sustainable Carbon. It's a carbon development company in Brazil. We develop carbon project and climate change program within the voluntary market. Also, I'm the president of Ecological Institute, which is a non-for-profit NGO based in north of Brazil, in Tocantins state. Well, it's one of the pioneer NGOs dealing with climate change. Mm-hmm. We did a lot of research. We did publishing several books, and we do work with local communities. I also manage a technology company that produces low emission kilns for the brick and clay production industry. Is a very interesting technology that minimize emission. That's part of our really part of our job. And I'm also CEO of Ecologica Assessoria, which is a company that manages forest. And now start a new venture within Forest Carbon Group, which is a new company that manages emission reduction programs also. So within all these, I have a very strong connection to Switzerland. I collaborate with Professor Eric Novak, who is the director at the Institute of Finance in Lugano. And I collaborate with the Center for Climate Finance and Sustainability in Lugano. And we do actually a lot of work together with students, organizing, supporting them in all these work within climate finance and sustainability. So, and therefore I have I travel a lot to Switzerland and in order to attend meetings and support all these activities regarding together with the University of the Università della Svizzera Italiana.
That's Thank amazing. You. That's amazing. So next time you're here, you should definitely give us a call. We can meet in person. But what attracted you to the Amazon forest? You know, because we know you have 43 projects in progress, of which 9 have been completed. And you also have 2 of them, which are under development. And they are so-called RED projects, which means reducing emission from deforestation and forest degradation projects. And so can you please tell us a bit more of what you have personally seen and experienced in Amazon in terms of deforestation? Because we hear it from news, but you've been there. So this is very important. So you can share it with our audience.
Yes. When I moved from north of Italy to Brazil, I moved to Tocantins. Tocantins is not exactly in the Amazon, is 1,000 kilometers north of Brasilia, in the heart of Brazil, is a region that is so-called ecotone region, where the Amazon forest comes together with the Cerrado forest, which is a kind of dry savanna, very similar to the African savanna, and also close to the Banana Island and the Araguaia River, which is a biome very similar to the Pantanal. So this region is very biodiverse. It's fantastic in terms of landscapes, river, big river, Tocantins River, Araguaia River, that flows into the Amazon River. It's really fantastic in terms of biodiversity. And I moved there. And from there, I started to work with emission reduction, mainly focusing research. And from there, I also traveled near all Brazil and also neighbor countries. I visited Colombia, Bolivia, Peru. I know that most of the states, practically all states in Brazil, Acre, Amazonas. I visited indigenous communities. And of course, during these 23 years that I'm living in Brazil, I've seen a lot of deforestation. That's really, you see important region with dense forests disappearing extremely fast. You see that, of course, the agriculture frontier is displacing north through Mato Grosso, through Pará, now entering into the Amazonas, state of Amazonas, entering into Acre. But of course, you see also that it's not only, you don't see only deforestation. You see that actually deforested land becomes, doesn't part of it, it has agriculture, but a lot is also abandoned without any utilization. So you see that it's not only an issue of the agriculture frontier moving north for cattle ranching, soy production, cotton production, grains production, whatever, but it's also an real estate speculation that it's happening, and so forests will be destroyed and then the land will be abandoned. This is what we can see. And of course, in the recent year, we see also that the technology that actually could save the forest through new technology, tokenization, through geoprocessing, putting together a lot of information, technology also helps in order to destroy in a much faster rate the Amazon. And it's important, of course, we hear always about the Amazon, but the other ecosystems, the other biomes are also very endangered. The Cerrado biomes, it has lost during the last year nearly 50% of its forests. The Amazon lost around 20%. So you see the Cerrado is also very, very endangered. You have heard in the last year about the Pantanal region, a lot of fires in that region. It's a very, very sensible, very delicate ecosystem. And you see now we have a lower, we have less rain in that region. So these beautiful wetlands, they are drying. And so you the fires incidence is increasing. And so the pantanal ecosystem, which is between Brazil, Bolivia, is and Paraguay, is also having a huge impact. And of course, the Caatinga biome, which is more in the northeast, has been deforested since the colonization of Brazil started. And this today, part of this ecosystem is practically only a desert. So there are many regions.
Can you provide some numbers, Stefano, in terms of in percentage, like how much percentage of Amazon forest is destroyed?
Yes, just you may have read that in there are a few very important entities, governmental and non-government entities, that monitor in real time the deforestation. From last year to this year, there was an increasing of 22% in the deforestation
I have also read. Yeah.
Of the Amazon. So that's a lot. There are regions where the agriculture production comes, and this will be destroyed in very fast time. In Brazil, we have also to separate between legal deforestation and illegal. Today, most of the deforestation is illegal, and the legal deforestation is are the farmers that have the right to deforest. It's important. It was in the past. Today, less, because the illegal deforestation is actually has a extremely high rate. During the last year, so increase a lot during the last 5 years.
So it's even more than legal deforestation.
Sure, illegal deforestation, specifically in the Amazon, is extremely high. I think it's something around 90, above 90%.
Wow.
Good. But we will come to that later on, because we had other questions to follow up with that about the legal and illegal. In one of your reports, you write the success of the global initiatives towards inhibiting devastation of the Amazon forest depends on high efficient ecological corridors with extendable borders. Now, in normal language of people like us, what does that mean?
So, this means the following. Due to the displacing of the agriculture to the north, the most of the deforestation happens in the so-called arc of deforestation. It's a belt that goes from practically from the ocean, from the north, from the east of Pará state, down through Tocantins, Mato Grosso, up to Acre, close to the border to Bolivia. So, among these arc, the most of the deforestation is happening. And of course, you don't have homogeneous forest anymore. It means we have to work today in trying to create corridors between the remaining plots of forests. So it's a kind of mosaic landscaping that has been created, and we have to connect public conservation units with private conservation units, with reservas legais, which are the conservation, the part of the land that the farmers needs to conserve. It's given by law, and try to create in a smart way to connection between these plots. Otherwise, you know, the biodiversity, the animals, they are no more connected. Even today, not even the indigenous people are connected. Before, till 20 years ago, they were connecting different indigenous group, one to the other one. Today, it's impossible, because between the different indigenous group, there is farmland, so there is no more connectivity between these. And of course, this is this enhance even more the deforestation, the forest fires, and of course the fragmentation of the landscape.
But please tell us about your present project, BFA, what is it about and what does it contain? We'd love to know a bit more about that.
Yes, BFA is an amazing project. It's a, actually, it's a huge area, private area in the middle of the forest. It's located at the south of the state in of the Amazon, on the northern border of the Act of Forestation. It's an untouched area with lots of rivers, and we are talking here about 500,000 hectares. 500,000 hectares for you to have an idea compared to Zug. I think it's something like 20 times the size of the canton of Zug.
That's a good comparison, yes. Yes. It's rather big, okay.
Yes, maybe not for people that don't know your where Zug, but anyway, it's really a big area. And we are working on the conservation of this area. I will show here a few slides just for you to show the beauty of the of this land, please. So these are some images that we have of this forest. You see beautiful rivers with sandy, white sandy beaches where jaguar, where anteaters and a lot of
And the crocodiles in the water.
A lot, crocodiles, piranhas, yes, a lot of fish. So, and here you see the this area, this conservation area, and the white spots. There is, this is where deforestation, these are the deforested area within the last 5 years. So you see the intensity of the deforestation. In the north, you can see the Trans-Amazonic Highway. In the south is the state of Mato Grosso with the pressure from the agriculture and soy production. So, and these are some images of the area. You see a dense forest, dense Amazonian forest, beautiful landscape. Animals, birds, fish, everything that you can find in this region. So please. So, and we are implementing a RED project, as you mentioned at the beginning, Svetlana. It's a reduce emission from deforestation and forest degradation. And this project generates carbon credits. So, how this works in the reality. We go to the forest, we measure the forest, and we do an analysis how the deforestation happened in the past and how it will happen. We do all simulation, there are methodologies for this, we use a computer, how the deforestation will happen in the future. And we simulate, okay, due to the activity of the project, we can avoid the deforestation, in this case, over 30 years of approximately 92,000 hectares in 30 years. And this gives something around projected 48 to 50 million tons of CO2e reduction over this period. This carbon credit can be sold, and of course, the revenues from the carbon from the sale of the carbon credit will be used for the maintenance activities, social activities, and all the activities needed for the conservation of this beautiful land.
Thank you for sharing. It's an amazing project indeed.
And I was recently in a TV, American TV program, when a Republican told me that climate change and all its impact are my opinion.
Yeah,
just
course.
My opinion.
So you have a lot of opinions. Yeah, also climate change,
so
just your opinion.
I told them that it seems my opinion is shared by many, as nearly as all major corporations we are aware of, financial institutions, old families, scientists around the world. They all take climate change as a major issue and are adapting their processes and planning to accommodate that. Are you also noticing the last same in the last decades in your sector that this is happening? And what, in your opinion, is still the reason why the Amazon is still being destroyed?
Yes, so we are noticing this, of course. In the last 5 years, there is a bigger awareness about what's going on and the and the need of concrete action immediately. Still, there are lots of organizations that don't know how to deal with these issues. For example, carbon credit, climate change, that's also an important issue. We need, so what's happened? Still, there is a lot of deforestation going on, that's true, increasing due to the there are several drivers of deforestation, very locally defined. There are some general, but mainly locally. And in the last years, we see more and more impact investment, not so much actually, but increasingly. We see that companies like airlines, like big banks, corporates, technology companies, oil and mining companies are looking to these new opportunities of nature-based solutions. So they are starting, they are putting more efforts in understanding how this works and how can they invest in this area, and now creating a bigger stream of funds to project like, for example, BOAFED. That's very, very important. Right. So during the last year, it was not the case. The market, voluntary carbon market, was very, we can say, there were some players, some important players, but not so many. But now in the last time, probably also due to the new agreements, the Paris Agreement, and also of the emergency, climate emergency in the Amazon, more and more organizations are investing and looking to invest in climate change projects in this region. Not only in the Amazon, or not only in the Brazilian Amazon, but in the whole Amazon, yeah. Colombia, Peru, Bolivia, and also in the other biomes, as I mentioned before, Cerrado biome, Caatinga, yeah. Pantanal. That's important. Mm-hmm. So this is, we are noticing this, that's important. Although this is not sufficient yet. This needs to be increased a lot, because when we think about carbon market, these kind of projects are allocated to the voluntary carbon market. Voluntary carbon market is 0.5, it's not even 1% of the global carbon market. So you see that there is a lot of space to do more, to invest more, and to generate more projects that conserve endangered ecosystems.
Yeah, that absolutely. Let's talk a bit about carbon credit and investment. Just in a minute, I wanted to ask the last question in these chapters, because I'm very interested if you also involve indigenous people in your project.
I used to work a lot with indigenous people. In Tocantins, there are 9 ethnic groups. I used to work with Carajás, with the Javaes. The Carajás have a beautiful art crafts. They are very famous for this. They live among one of the big river in the Amazon. It's the Araguaia River. And when I start my activities, I implement the first carbon sequestration project. This was the name at that time of RED. There was no RED at that time. Carbon sequestration project in Brazil, specifically on Banana Island, which is the biggest river island worldwide, and where approximately 18 indigenous community lives from these 2 ethnic groups. I also work with the Kraho and with the Xerente groups, and working on income generation, art crafts, on ecotourism generation, turtle conservation, yeah. Fish conservation. And so I have quite a lot of experience with this. Specifically for BOAFED is there are no indigenous community. There are some communities close to the project itself. It's a huge area, in the area itself there are no indigenous communities. So with the community close, we do, of course, stakeholder consultation. It's an influence region of the project, and this is the work that is done there.
Mm-hmm. How do indigenous communities celebrate the new year in Amazon?
Yes, they are. Lifestyle is given by nature, so it's more connected to moon and to rainy period and dry period, because actually the difference of the Amazon from the other region, these are not temperate region, it's tropical region, and the big difference during the year is the rainy period and the dry period. During the rainy period, we are talking about 6 to 8 months where we have heavy rains and flood. The rivers increase up to 8 meters, so there are big floods, and so they have to move from one region to the other one in order to
not swim,
because crocodiles are walking in the forest afterwards,
eh? And also, in the office.
Yes, that's true.
And now going to the carbon credits. So during our previous conversation, you mentioned that the project requires investments. So can you give a kind of ballpoint figure? How much are we talking about? And what would these investments be used for?
Yes, in this specific case, we are talking of an area of nearly 500,000 hectares. The investment size is around $50 million, mm-hmm. which, and this will be used, of course, for land acquisition and also for implementing carbon activities and fire prevention, working with the local communities, specifically with ecotourism. When we did the stakeholder consultation, they asked for example, solar panels, water filters. That's a huge problem, water contamination in these regions. Mm-hmm. And also activities connected to ecotourism, for example, ecolodge. You know, this region is fantastic for fishing, for bird watching. And once we train these people, the communities, they are the ones that over the period of time of the project, which is 30 years, extendable to 100 years, they will be locally with their presence. And they are the people that can effectively reduce the drivers of deforestation. So that's mm-hmm, very mm-hmm. important. So this is, of course, the project are implement over a certain period of time. We have big experience in this. Just in the last year, we started more than 10 new project, conservation project, and this year, from tomorrow, new year, we will start with more and more projects in order to conserve endangered ecosystems.
That's mean 50 million. It's not such a big number, right? To save forests and
especially the Amazon.
Exactly. Yeah. Stefano, you mentioned carbon credit before. The world still doesn't have a standard, and still many countries do not want to participate in that, because they're very skeptical, and especially the ones producing the most CO2 emissions. And especially when we know that implementation of the carbon credits are of existential importance. So what do you think of the risks that it won't be accepted? So if the market will die out instead of growing?
And maybe if you can also explain very shortly for the audience, what do you mean by carbon credit? In a very simple language, which even I can understand.
Okay, so I will start from this definition. So it's easier. Carbon credit, one carbon credit is one ton, metric ton of CO2 that it's not released in the atmosphere due to a certain activity. It can be a renewable energy, can be an industrial process, can be best practices in the agriculture, can be forest conservation. So, and also with always thinking CO2 equivalent, it means the greenhouse gases is not only carbon, methane and other industrial gases. So the six greenhouse gases that are not emitted in the atmosphere, this generates carbon credit. So the, regarding the standard, what Svetlana told, Svetlana, you're correct that not all countries are participating. Some with more activities, others with less. Regarding standard, we do have standards, global accepted.
When you say we, who do you mean we?
So we have two kinds of markets. We have the regulated markets, for example, the European Community, and then several other markets, for example, several markets in the US, Australia, and in Canada, and so on. In Latin America, we have one market in Colombia and one in Chile that is being set up. Brazil doesn't have any regulated market. And conservation project and forestry project, they are allocated into the voluntary market, which is this smaller market, which is accepted actually worldwide. What does it mean, voluntary market? The purchases of the carbon credit, they don't have an obligation to purchase. They purchase for a certain policy, so it means corporation, they purchase due to a certain, in order to generate, to have fulfill their commitments, their public commitments, in order to develop carbon neutral products. And the standard that is used for a forestry project is VERA, is the most used. Approximately 90% of the projects are used under this standard. We also have a pipeline of projects under the gold standard, which is also very well known, the gold standard. But these are smaller projects and more related to renewable energy or fuel switching. Not to forest conservation. And these standards are fully regulated in their proceedings. So there are methodology that define exactly how the project has to be developed, which are the rules, which are the tools that need to be for development, for the during this development. They define exactly how stakeholder consultation needs to happen. So SDGs, involvement, sustainable development goals, how they have to be achieved by the project. And then these projects are all certified by independent third parties, means big international certifier. And then the projects are monitored. In case of a forestry project, we use different kind of satellites with different serial times based on the methodologies. And then projects are monitored and then verified. Once all this happens, this is a process that at the beginning takes over one year for putting together this kind of project. These carbon credits flows into a registry. It's a global registry. And from this registry can be transacted. It means the project owner can sell the created carbon credits to a buyer, which normally is a corporation, is a big company or banks or intermediary also, in order for these different purposes. So this is how the market works. And as I said, we have a regulated market, which is more allocated, which doesn't consider forest conservation. And we have the voluntary market, which is also very strong with nature-based solution, which are this kind of project that we are dealing and that conserve the Amazon and conserve all the other big biomes.
So Stefano, if I understand, so a lot of your program or project depends on the monitoring the CO2 absorption of the land of your project. But I was reading recently a last report that the Amazon rainforest has become a net carbon emitter, especially because of the fires being created there. That doesn't this also impact your project, because you have the project which are for which you have the CO2 sequestering and you are doing trading? But you mentioned yourself earlier that 90% of the logging is illegal. So if this illegal loggers come and burn your forest down, then there is the CO2, you can't trade on that CO2 anymore.
Ben, this is correct. When you see, and this actually was part of my PhD work that I finalized last year, when you see the legal Amazon or the Amazon as one, you are correct. Due to the high deforestation rate, forest fires, the Amazon itself doesn't generate carbon credits. They actually, in the last year, 2 years, the result is negative. However, when you go locally to see homogeneous forests or forest areas or clusters or region or states or municipalities, and then down to private land, this is not the case. In many cases, in order to avoid deforestation of the existing and remaining forests, we need there is a positive flux generation of carbon credit. For example, Beaufay will generate over 30 years around 50 million tons of CO2 equivalent, and the maintenance of this forest depends from an income generation. And of course, today carbon credit is probably the only one income generation that is possible. So despite, it's interesting because you always hear, which is the value of biodiversity, which is the value of the ecosystem services generated by the forest. It's huge, but at the end it's zero because they all, as you said at the beginning, they go for they are converted into agricultural land. If we don't put up a certain value on the existing forest, and today, due to the history of the Kyoto Protocol, all the contribution, all the studies that have been done in terms of methodology, the only carbon pays for forest conservation. If you think project like this, the land, despite its beauty, despite its importance in terms of biodiversity, animal, birds, and everything, the land is nearly nothing worth. What is worth is really carbon and the potentiality of having non-forestry income generation, like working with local communities in oil production or acai or Brazil nut production. So other economic activities that don't come from the logging activity. So
right.
I mean, it's very sad that you say that, because we have lost our soul connection with the nature that we have to have a value to every plant, tree, and bird or creature living there. If we don't have a value, we just burn them and kill them. That's
absolutely. But I want to ask you about financials, because you know there are many financial institutions and ultra high net worth individuals who are trying to protect Amazon. You yourself said also you've heard about impact investors, and maybe they were even supporting you. So why haven't they started such projects earlier? Why haven't they started to support such projects like yours earlier? So then we wouldn't face this problem with deforestation right now.
So there are several organizations and lots of investors specifically in the Amazon that try to implement long-term conservation project. However, you have to think that, as I said before, a rainy period of 8 months, logistic problems, and access and difficulty to deal with governmental bodies. This makes this big and long-term project with a long-term view not viable. Now, with the new, with the Paris Agreement, with the new economy based on climate change mechanism, a new mechanism, more and more organization and private person and as you say, the new investor are interested in investing, because of course there is also, you can combine an investment also an impact investment also with a return given by carbon credits. And yes, there is a big interest due to this emergency of the Amazon region, Amazon and Pantanal.
How much return can impact investors expect when they invest in Amazon forests?
It's this question always comes also from the owner.
Well, it's, you know, if it's impact investments, there should be at least capital paid back and some return, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Even if it's little.
It depends. It depends case by case. And we always, within our team, we have a full team of financial people that really works on this issue, because we have to model the returns in a project of 30 years. So this is not so easy in Brazil, where, you know, we have political change, we have economy change, right, and big fluctuation that impact is. But yes, part of our team is dedicated to analyze. And this is really case by case. You cannot say, you can.
And what is the range?
We have all kinds of range. We have projects that generate a high return and projects that don't generate any return. So it's really.
And what about Boafé?
Boafé is a very interesting project. It's a, there is a big upfront investment, of course, because it's a big portion of forest and of land. However, the carbon credit generation over a period of time, and we have all these analyzed this information, we can supply to the potential investor, are very positive, especially when we think that, of course, we think that there are high maintenance costs. However, carbon credit generation in the amount of approximately 50 million tons is a very interesting return.
Exactly. And what do you see as the largest threat to your project?
Of course, illegal deforestation due to new technology, they are moving very fast. So we, for example, last year we were, actually this year, we were working on the project. We identified that some illegal loggers started to plan a road across the property so we could stop it and prevent this, and fantastic result. However, you see illegal deforestation moves very fast, and illegal deforestation does no border of conservation unit, doesn't border no private properties or public properties, whatever. They move very fast in order to extract high value timber species, and in Boafé there are high, there is a big amount of high value timber species. So, and then the other threat is, of course, government. You know, in many cases, government policies, especially in this region, despite what its common sense said, are very aggressive against the remaining forest. So, rules can change very quick, and of course, this put project, long-term project, and foreign investments into forestry conservation could put this in danger. This is this is a risk, of course.
Okay. And now to the third part of it is the governance of the project. So you are RED certified. So doesn't it mean extreme amount of reporting and process documentation and project management? And what kind of governance do you have in place to run the whole project?
Yes, RED project means a very detailed project development cycle. It goes through several steps, stakeholder consultation, hiring a global certifier to certify all the documentation, and with a high grade of transparency, because all the information are public, available in the registry, so everyone can have a look and do a due diligence on this. That's very positive. That is, it, this is a huge advantage of the carbon market, that they are very transparent. So we have team for this. So we are a fully integrated organization with people on the field, with people that does geoprocessing analysis, people that interact with certifier, people that work on, for example, on the co-benefit standard, social carbon, for example, in order to evaluate and certify that, all the co-benefits, social, environment, co-benefits. And in terms of governance, specifically for this project, there is a specific company has been set up with a board of directors and board of advisors, specifically because we are attracting investment from foreign investors. And we, of course, Brazil has a certain image in these terms, and we, therefore, we created...
Well, there's Brazilian carnival, no?
Yes, very soon.
People care about dancing and be happy.
Yes, and so we create all this governance structure. It's a complete new organization dedicated to this project. And that's very positive because with this new governance and this new organization, we can interact with investors in Switzerland or wherever. That's mm-hmm. very positive.
And Stefano, when you mean BFA project has social activities, you mentioned that before. So what exactly do you mean by social activities?
Yes, in the project region, there are communities, local communities. In this mm-hmm. case, not indigenous community, but communities that do extractivism of non-timber products. And the first work is to identify them, to talk to them, do stakeholder consultation, and see what the community demands. This doesn't happen in governmental projects, but in case of carbon project, private managed project, this happens. This is very important. I was one of the founder of the concept of social carbon. I published together with my partner. We published several books with different aspects of social carbon involving biodiversity, social activities, and recently scaling social carbon to jurisdictional level. This was part of my PhD work connected to SDGs. And this utilizing these standards gives you the rules and the tools of how to manage the relationship with local communities. You cannot think to administrate and to manage a project with that lasts for 30 years. It can go from 30, which is the minimum period, up to 100 years, without involving local, without the participation of local
Absolutely,
communities.
Absolutely, yes.
So they have to be involved. And also, socially is not correct that due to the carbon credit that you sell carbon credit, for example, to European companies, where there is a high increase of wealth, and you keep local people poor. So they have to participate. Yeah.
Well, that happens a lot, you know. It's...
That's
happened
a lot.
That happens worldwide. A lot in many industries, in mining industry, and yeah.
Exactly. The displacement of poverty and of also of environment problems to developing countries. This happened in the past a lot. This mm-hmm. is happening still now. Carbon Project, due to its transparency, they try to mitigate this. We're mm-hmm. not saying that all projects are perfect, because we are always dealing in developing country, in regions with difficult access, with different kind of communities. But we try to mitigate these impacts and to involve and to make them participate. For example, development of ecotourism, in this case of Wafé, development of bird watching, for example, utilizing the fire prevention towers for uses, for example, of bird watching. That is something that we already planned, that this was discussed with the community. And then, as I told you, solar roofs and filter water filters. Mm-hmm. All this has been discussed, and this is part of the social activities that enable the long-term delivery of carbon credit to investors.
Yes. And to my knowledge, the greatest damage to Amazon is being, like you yourself mentioned, is because of the ground for cattle grazing, other kind of cash food production and things like that. But the real cause behind them are major multinationals like JBS Food and Minerva, who are financing, and I also read that a lot of financial institutions in Europe are financing these agriculture companies, and which indirectly are also destroying the forest, are actively busy with killing the Amazon forest. So how do you address these issues caused, and are you taking any actions to stop them with their destructive activities, or are you taking any actions to provide information to the financial institutions here in Europe who are investing into these kind of companies?
Yes, recently, together with Professor Novak, we participated to several events in Switzerland, in Monte Carlo, impact investment events. And we see that really Swiss or European organization, financial organization, they don't know
exactly
what is happening. This is the first part. The second issue is they don't know how to act, because of course when a Brazilian bank takes financing from a Swiss big bank, of course, and then they utilize this to finance the Brazilian agribusiness, indirectly the Swiss banking system, financial system is financing deforestation and the displacing north of this, as I told you, the deforestation, the agricultural frontier. Companies, corporations like JBS, they are starting to identify this issue. They are starting to create some mechanism for monitoring. However, this is a process that is ongoing and will be not stopped very soon. Also because the connection to the Brazilian government is extremely strong. So today the rural cattle ranch and the rural party is the strongest party in the parliament. So they can approve any law that they want within a very short period of time, and that can then affect, of course, the conservation activities. This is very sad, but this is the reality. And also, these companies are very capital intensive, so they can invest in new techniques a lot. But still, the business as usual model is deforestation, then cattle ranching, and then sale of the property to soy producer, because and the price practically a land that forest land that is has a very low value within 3 to 5 years get a huge value, and who is part of this gets extremely rich. So, and this is the business as usual model. In my opinion, this will continue for several years because there is no intention from the government and from the financial institution, big banks, to change this model.
Investment policy.
Yes, Ben said we need to reach 3.5% of the population, then we can solve that.
No, because in Netherlands is one of the most environmental conscious country, and there was an article that a lot of Dutch pension money is also going to these projects. So now the people, there is a kind of pushback. So now the people are really asking questions to the pension funds to stop the investments or start disinvesting.
Stefano, the time is running in this day of the last day of the year. Very last question, and I think it's a very important one. So how can our audience support you, and how can they reach out to you? Do you have a website, social media? So how can they find your project and support you if they want to?
Yes. So altogether, we need to focus more on impact investment in the Amazon and in mm-hmm. the other endangered ecosystem. Of course, I work mainly in Brazil, but it's not only Brazil. It's most of the developing countries, Africa, Asia, the rest of Latin America, and also the other biomes. That's very, very important. There are vehicles, sophisticated and less sophisticated vehicles for this, investment fund, impact fund, blended finance vehicles. This can be set up. This we work on this with our financial teams, with the here with the Institute of Finance in Lugano, in setting up these new models. Mm-hmm. And of course, the big Swiss or international financial institution, they need to collaborate, because of course today not much has been done.
Where can they find you if they want to collaborate?
Yes, we can. We have a website, we have information, I can send all information, we have emails, we can be reached very easily. And really, we are open to support, transfer information, support, and all the investor that wants to invest in this amazing project, not only in Bofe project, but not only in Bofe project, also in the other project that we are developing.
So can you name, for example, I think the name is Sustainable Carbon, no?
Carbon, yes.
So if they look for Sustainable Carbon in Google, they should find you.
Sustainablecarbon.com, based in Brazil. Ecologica.org.br is the Ecologica Institute, also based in Brazil. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's easy to remember.
Yes.
Sustainablecarbon.com.
Great. Stefano, very last thing for the end of the year, your call to action and message for our global audience. What would you like to say?
Following the, we have this amazing opportunity of having carbon finance that support that can support forest conservation. This is a very powerful tool that we can use for this. So it's important that financial institutions understand the different aspects of climate finance, and that really that are prepared to invest in large scale. And not only financial institutions, all kind of corporation, and also people shall contribute to this. So it's the Amazon belongs to everybody. It's I always hear it's the lung of the planet. But actually, when you go to the Amazon, there is a lot of smoke, a lot of forest fires. So we need to change this, and we need the support of everybody in this change. So that's very important, and hopefully now next year, starting from tomorrow, we can change this altogether.
Thank you.
We hope as well. Yes.
So there are two things we can do. One is invest into the projects like yours to protect the Amazon forest, and the second is to increase the awareness so that every person who has his pension fund or whose savings in big banks and big pension funds who are investing in these projects, to ask them to stop doing that.
There is a third thing.
What?
Stop eating meat. Become vegetarian or vegan.
That's going to take a much longer time than what Stefano is thinking about.
Oh, that can be changed quite quickly, imagine.
But thank you so very much for joining us today, Stefano. And you are aware that as our guest, and as a thank you for our guest, you will receive an honorary membership to the Chamomile platform. So just register into it and let us know, and we will upgrade it. So thank you very, very
thank
much.
You, for
thank you very much.
Happy New Year.
Yes, you too. And it was a pleasure to be here and with the audience. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Be seen in Amazon next year.
Sure. You are invited very soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Dear viewers, with this, our show of today ends with the year 2021. And we will be back quite soon on the 14th of January, starting with a new season. And next to Thought Leaders, our new season will be dedicated to impactful businesses and institutions. And I want to thank once again our audience and network and those guys here. Go, move, move, move. Let's show their faces completely here. Who have been previously in our programs and have received different kinds of support, whether as new clients, partners, or investors. So we are happy we helped you guys to achieve more impact. Another thing, in February, we will run a contest called Impact Leaders 2022 with amazing investor in jury, Kevin Harrington, and there will be also much more prizes to win, such as mentorship program and, of course, invitation to our TV show. The deadline to apply is 15th of January. So once you celebrate the new year, please apply yourself. Don't miss the opportunity to get the funds, support, and many things. So check it on Chamomile in contest for more information.
So, and we invite all impactful businesses who are seeking investments to, and who are seeking financial support or other resources, please apply.
And come to our TV show. So if you think you are a good match, write to us, reach out. We would be happy to consider and invite you to our TV show. Of course, yes.
As long as they are impactful.
Absolutely. This is the first criteria. So yeah. We wish you all a very happy, very healthy, very important new year 2022. And may at least some of your dreams to be fulfilled in the coming year. So cheers to impact.
And thanks for watching us.
Act for your future. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Welcome to season 3 of Swiss Impact with Banerjee. I'm Sveta.
And I'm Ben.
The topic of season 3 is Impact Investing, the New Normal. Do you also want to do something meaningful for our planet and people or invest with impact?
Then our amazing and powerful guests who are business owners, heads of financial institutions, thought leaders, political leaders, policymakers, investors, and experts.
Greetings, my name is Ash Pachauri and I'm the senior mentor of the POP or Protect Our Planet movement. And also a member of the board and secretary treasurer of the World Sustainable Development Forum. Our primary goal is to mobilize the 1.8 billion youth of the world to urgently address the issue of climate change and take action to protect our planet.
This will inspire you to get engaged.
And in this season, we will challenge them even more to take actions towards sustainable development goals to enable paradigm shift in the financial sector and way of doing business.
Watch and learn how can we, as humans, transform into eco-financial system which would serve all people and the environment.
We aim for impact investment to become available to anyone, become truly mainstream.
See you every Friday at 3 p.m. Central European Time at Swiss Impact with Banerjee.
Act for your future.